You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everybody, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach. We're talking some Atlanta Braves with MLB.com's Braves reporter, Mark Bowman. Mark, we talked about Mike Minor last week, and the indications were turning positive as it was, and he turns around and flirts with a no-hitter. That's three good starts in a row and four out of five. How many do you need to see before you believe that this guy's really sorted out?
I think Friday night's outing there in Cincinnati, like you said, when he took the no-hit bid there into the eighth inning, I think that was all I needed to see. Just not just as just that one game, but just that was the topper. You know, it showed that this is not. I don't think this is a fluke. I think he has his confidence back, and nobody's ever said he's going to be an ace, but I think he is a legitimate number three who has the capability of pitching it like a strong number two on a consistent basis. And, you know, that's what this rotation needs. And here's a guy who he entered into this season. He had posted a 2.90 ERA in his previous 47 starts. That's not a fluke, you know. So what we saw over the first few months of the season, you know, I think it was just a guy who got behind schedule at the beginning of the season, struggled. He had his chance to clear at the beginning of this month, and I do think he will be an asset down the stretch.
So if Minor's good, if he's right, we've talked about the kind of all-over-the-place nature of this club more than once, but let's kind of get ahead of ourselves a little bit. This team's not far out of the wild card at all. They're right in that mix. So they get in, they win that one game. You've got Teron, you've got Minor, who seems to be pitching like a 2-3 kind of guy. You've got Irvin Santana, who's been very good most of the year. You've got Alex Wood, whose upside is enormous. Isn't this a rotation that matches up with pretty much any in the NL, with the exception of the Dodgers, as a playoff rotation?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I don't think there are going to be any other rotations in the National League that do match up with the Dodgers, like you say. Whoever goes up against Kershaw, Greinke and company, they're going to say, oh, you know, advantage Dodgers. But this is a rotation that can hold its own against most of the other National League teams. We've seen that they've fared well against the Nationals over the last 2 years, especially the success they had against Strasburg and Gio. You start putting, Fister against Teron, if you put Roark against Wood or Zimmerman against Santana. I mean, those are all matchups where you say, you could argue one way or another for this either guy. There would not be any kind of decided disadvantage. And in all honesty, there are a couple guys right there that I would probably give the advantage to the Braves. So, every other team besides the Dodgers, I think you're going to find that. So, I think that Alex Wood is a wild card down the stretch. You know, if he stays strong, we'll see how important it was those 6 weeks that they took him out of the rotation to limit his innings and keep him strong for the stretch run. It's going to be interesting to see how effective he is down the stretch because he can be a difference maker.
So if we're talking about playoff matchups, it must follow that it's also about time to start talking about awards. And don't worry, I'm going to say something nice about him in just a minute. But can we dispense with this Justin Upton MVP talk in a world where Giancarlo Stanton still has two legs and two arms and suits up every day?
Yeah, I wrote something yesterday. I said, hey, look, Justin Upton's having a great season. You know, it's good, but he's not an MVP candidate. He's going to have to do something crazy in September. And in all honesty, if you ask me who the MVP is of this team every day, it's Jason Hayward just for what he does, since moving to the leadoff spot, with what he's done in the field throughout the season with his glove. And, it's Justin Upton's having a great season. But like I said, I don't even see him as the MVP of the team.
With that said, he is absolutely raking. And it seems like for really his whole career, he's been a very streaky guy. To your eye, as somebody sees him every day, what's the difference between good Justin and bad Justin?
I think probably and it's going to sound simple, but it's just having an understanding of the strike zone. When you start seeing him swinging at bad pitches, you're going to you kind of get a feel for him losing that losing touch of the strike zone. You're probably going to see a guy who struggles for a couple of weeks. When you see Justin Upton start, you know, swinging at primarily strikes, you know, not chasing balls out of the zone, and most importantly, if you ever start him seeing him go to the opposite field, maybe once a game, maybe once every other game, he just like most other people, when they do that, he's locked in. But you know that there are. It is amazing how many some of the tremendous stretches that he's had over the last 2 years have been. You're thinking this guy's the greatest player in the world, and then for 3-4 weeks to follow, you're thinking, you know, this guy's he really isn't doing anything but being a detriment in the middle of the lineup. So for the most part this year, I will say this. Last year we saw more of the swoons last longer, and he's had much the lack of productivity lasted longer last year, I guess is the best way to say it. And this year, I think what we've seen is, yeah, you're not going to see the guy. It's on the tear that he's on right now throughout the season. Nobody ever does that, but we haven't seen him dip down into the 230, three home runs, and you know whatever 690 OPS for 40 games either.
The flip side of that, and I don't want to pile on B.J. Upton because enough people have done that, unfortunately, but it's gone real, real bad again for B.J. They pulled the plug on Ugla. Now, obviously, there's a difference in defense and base running, and there are more things that B.J. can do, but is it finally getting close to a point where something changes with B.J. Upton's situation?
I think it has to. You know, this is a team that – they collapsed in September just 3 years ago. They understand how big of a how vital this final month is. Whether you can either lose everything or you can gain everything here in this last month. And I just think we have reached a point where they do have options for B.J. Upton, and I think that it's time to start exploring them. I know that Freddie has probably at times probably felt like the front office, you know, pressuring him into playing B.J. just because of the contract time and again. I've been told that that's not the case. You know, it doesn't matter sometimes what you hear, though. Freddie knows what he's feeling. And but at the same time, look, this is everyone has to be looking at this as, you know, do or die type of situation. There's just no reason to have B.J. Upton in their lineup. So you put Emilio Bonifacio in there some days. The other thing that it's going to be interesting to see if Freddie goes there is he keeps saying that he's not willing to do it quite yet, but move Phil Gosselin to left, put Jason Hayward in center, and put Justin Upton right. And I think that's something that could work. And then also in doing that, you keep Bonifacio on your bench. And I don't know if everyone on that coaching staff sees Bonifacio as an everyday player. They see his value, the versatility that he brings off the bench. So I think that may be where they're more comfortable of the two choices. But Freddie has continued to say when I've asked, you know, he's not willing to put Gosselin out there yet. But we'll see. We'll see here in the next week or so.
Is that notion that was floated earlier in the year of Gattis as an outfielder even some of the time completely dead, or was it ever real in the first place?
Yeah, I mean it was real. I mean it was a conversation, probably multiple conversations. I just think that if you go back and you look at Gattis's -10 defensive WAR out there in left field last year, I think that's where the conversation always led to and then probably ended. And it made sense on a lot of fronts, but if as somebody said, you saw him out there last year, and they just Yes. In other words, all the other parts of the argument make sense. But, you know, when you think about what Gattis did in left field last year, it could be a defensive detriment again.
Makes sense to me. Thanks, everybody, for listening to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, and Mark Bowman, thanks for joining us.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.